Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Women Arsecast on arseblog.com, the best podcast dedicated to the Arsenal women's team, which we can say with absolute confidence because we're the only podcast dedicated to the Arsenal women's team. I keep making that claim and nobody has challenged me yet. So if you do have a podcast dedicated to the Arsenal women's team and you'd like to push back on that claim, please do just send me a message on Twitter rather than involving lawyers or anything like that, and I'm sure we can sort it out. Anyway, going to be a short intro from me this month because most of the talking will be done by Arsenal defender Anna Patton, who for her sins spent 40 minutes talking to me on a Friday afternoon, which is unfortunate for her, I guess, but very fortunate for you, listener. We spoke a lot, actually, about her kind of upbringing as an Arsenal fan, going to Highbury with her uncle when she was 6 years old, how she came to be an academy player at Arsenal, those first really promising games she had as a 17-year-old in the heart of the Arsenal defence in the spring series in 2017, before she went to the US college system for 3.5 years, and we spoke a lot about her experiences out in the US and then returning to Arsenal in January, and how that's been for her, particularly moving countries in the middle of a pandemic and coming back into the WSL now aged 21, coming back to the club that she supports and that she loves, with her good friend Lotta Wubben-Moy as well, who has a very similar backstory, actually. And then we look ahead a little bit to Friday night's enormous game against Manchester United at Boreham Wood. So really, really big thanks to Anna for being so generous with her time and so thoughtful with her answers as well. It's a really, really good interview. Hope you enjoy it. Anna, thanks so much for joining the show today.
I'm happy to be here.
So Anna, as I said to you off mic, this is very much a podcast and a site for Arsenal fans, and you are an Arsenal fan and always have been. Could I just ask, I know you're quite local, growing up in Hertfordshire. What was your kind of background? How did you become an Arsenal fan? Was it just because they were the local team, or was it a family thing for you?
Yeah, so actually in my immediate family, no one supports, as in like my mum, dad, brothers, we all actually support different teams, which isn't, you know, the usual in a family situation, but it makes game days a bit more exciting. But actually my uncle, he was a big Arsenal fan, still is obviously, and he was the one who got me loving Arsenal really and following them, and he actually took me to Highbury for, it was like a Christmas birthday present when I was 6 going on 7, and I went and they won 7-0 against Middlesbrough, so it was just like such an amazing experience, so many goals, just to feel like all the supporters and the love for Arsenal. I was like, oh yeah, I like this club a lot. So yeah, from then on, all you could catch me wearing was an Arsenal top.
And that Middlesbrough game, I was there as well, remember it really well. And I guess, did your uncle take you, because obviously that was just a couple of months before Highbury shut, was that like a big incentive for him to take you?
I've never actually asked him that, if it was like knowing that Highbury was gonna shut, but I feel so honored that like I was able to go to Highbury, because I don't think you could ask a lot of 21-year-old Arsenal fans, oh, have you ever been to Highbury, and they would say yes. So I think it was such an amazing experience, really got me falling in love with football and Arsenal. But yeah, I reckon in the back of his head he was like, oh, I need to show my niece Highbury before it goes. So yeah.
Do you remember any details about that game? Because as you say, it was 7-0. I'm thinking in particular, there was an amazing piece of skill by Thierry Henry in that game. And I don't know if you remember it. It's where he kind of, it's really difficult to describe in audio, but he kicks his right leg up, misses the ball, and then passes with his standing foot. And it was, you know, it was just one of those games. Like, I'm just curious about how many of the details you remember, or was it just all quite overwhelming?
It was all quite overwhelming, if I'm honest. Weirdly, what I remember was, so for Christmas, I got given the, you know, the purple top that they wore that year. And I remember thinking, oh, is that home? Will they be wearing it? Will they be wearing that kit? And that's what I can remember from the game, is them wearing that purple top, because I was excited because I had the same one on. But no, I can't say I can remember like the little details because I was young, but I just do remember celebrating a lot for all the goals. Just having an amazing time.
Yeah, not a bad one to pick as your first game. And so what about your history with Arsenal women then? Because you came through the academy initially. How and when were you spotted by Arsenal? And what was that process like kind of signing for Arsenal? And how old were you?
Yeah, so I went to, when I was quite young, like I'd say 8, 9, I went to the summer camps they would put on, like the 2-day things, because obviously I am local and, you know, you'd get Rachel Yankee maybe would come in and like coach for a bit, or Faye Wyatt. And I used to love that. I used to love going to those little sessions. And I think looking back, I think I looked good in one of those. And someone told me, oh, come for a trial, you know, just see what it's like. So I went and trialed, and I think I was really nervous. I was quite young and I don't think I did very well on my trial. And that was like my first tiny little taste of Arsenal. And I think a coach came up to me and they were like, you know, you're good, you'll do well. But right now, you know, just carry on what you're doing and maybe join us a bit later. And then I was 12, and around that time, the Centre of Excellences, there were quite a lot in the country, and the FA wanted to make it more elite. So they cut quite a few. And I was at Watford, actually, and that Centre of Excellence got cut, and we weren't really expecting it. So then it was this whole, oh my God, I've got a trial somewhere else. Arsenal's obviously so close and the best for my family as well, because I know so many girls who did have to travel so far to go to training, but for me, it would be so, so close, so, so helpful. And obviously it was Arsenal. I wanted to play for Arsenal. They were the best centre at the time. So I can remember going to those trials so nervous. And it was like, there was 3 different trial days. You'd have to beat the first, like get past first stage, second stage. And I remember the last one, I used to be, surprisingly, a right winger. And they put me as like a defender. It was in like a 9-a-side. So there was only 2 at the back or whatever. And I remember being like, oh, they've put me as a defender. They're not gonna bring me in. I was a little bit stressed, and I can remember my mum the next day, like I think she got emailed and she told me that I got into Arsenal. Oh God, that was such a good day. I can remember it so clearly. I was so happy. And then joining the academy was the Centre of Excellence. Oh, it was so good. And going to the Emirates, oh, because like as your induction day, you go to the Emirates and they give you all the kit. And, nice. You know, you get this motivational talk. It was from John Bayer at the time, the technical director. And he's saying all these things, like, you can develop, you can get to the first team. I was like this 12, 13-year-old girl, like, oh, my God, I can't wait. getting all the kit, it was like Christmas Day. So, yeah, I really, really enjoyed induction day, as they called it. And, I was so relieved when I did get into Arsenal.
And did you stay as a defender from that point on?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And I can remember very clearly on a drive home from Uni of Hearts, where is where we used to play, I'd be, Mom, I don't want to play as a defender. I want to be running forward, because that's what I used to love doing, running forward and scoring the odd goal and all of this. But I guess they were right, the coaches, and pushing me back as a defender. I like it now. And I really did grow into liking playing as a defender, but those first few games I was like, I'm not having this.
And so, I mean, speaking of playing in the heart of defence, you know, the Spring Series, which 4 years ago now, where you and Lotta really emerged. And I remember speaking to Pedro, the manager at the time, just before the Spring Series started. And I kind of asked him, how are you going to treat this? Because it was, for listeners that don't know, the Spring Series was like a bridge competition when the WSL was changing from a summer league to a winter league. And so there was like a 2-3 month league where everyone played each other once. And not everyone took it entirely seriously. And I asked Pedro about it, and he said, yeah, we're going to use it like to try out some young players. So I was kind of expecting you and Lotta to play a bit, but you both ended up starting every single game. And I may be misremembering, but I think Gemma Rose was unavailable, but I don't remember there being a lot more injuries. So I remember being really surprised by that. Did Pedro tell you beforehand that he had that kind of plan for you, or did he just start you for the first game and decide to keep you going?
Yeah, I don't think he never came and spoke to me, at least, like there was a plan, oh, you're going to play every single game. I only had joined the first, because Lotta was in and around the first team for a while, but I had only really joined the training sessions the January of a Spring Series that started near the end of April. And I remember just joining and thinking, oh, this is going to be like some great experience for me before I go to America. Whatever comes of it will be great. But yeah, I got opportunities in like that preseason time as well, like March. And I think I just proved myself enough that he felt he felt happy to start me in that first game. And then, yeah, from then on, I think it was based on my performances that he felt more and more comfortable putting me back there. And I think all the girls at the time really helped me feel so like comfortable back there as well, which really helped me during that Spring Series.
And is there a game in that Spring Series that sticks out for you? Because there were some really crazy ones, like that Chelsea one, which I covered, and I can tell you as a reporter, two injury time goals is no good. There was that 4-4 against Liverpool. There was a 4-2 where Louise Quinn came on and scored. There were some really, really good games in that Spring Series. Is there one that sticks in your mind?
Yeah, no, there were some crazy games in that Spring Series. Oh, my gosh. I would have to say my favourite was going to City and beating them 1-0. I just love that game. My family had come up as well, so they were in the stands watching. And just to be able to, like, me and Lotta as centre-backs together, keeping a clean sheet against another really strong team, obviously. Yeah, that was definitely my favourite game of the Spring Series. There were some crazy ones in there, but as a defender, I like the ones where you keep a clean sheet the most.
Yeah, indeed. Great goal from Jordan Nobbs that day. And and actually, Arsenal haven't won there since. So, yeah, like really, really memorable game, that one. So you actually, my next question was, you kind of already answered it, but I'll ask you to expand on it a bit. You already knew that you were going to the States by the time the Spring Series started. And so for Pedro to still decide to start you in every game, like, because he must have, obviously he knew that you were going. I mean, what was that like? And what was the process of kind of agreeing to go into the college system in the States?
Yeah, so for me, I actually made the decision the spring before that. So quite young, actually, compared to other English girls. And at that time, like a year before that, I'd been seeing girls similar my age at different clubs and even at Arsenal getting shots with the first team, you know, going and joining the training sessions, some making their WSL debuts and everything. And I at that time, I really wasn't even like close. I wasn't knocking on the door. I was like, right, for me, I've got to go to America, develop as a player and come back and see what's available then. So actually, when I did get my shot with Arsenal in the January and then like had such an amazing spring, and obviously the Spring Series where Pedro put so much faith in me and other staff members at the club, it actually, like, there was a point after the Spring Series when Arsenal were like, we understand that you're going to America and everything, but like, we would really want to sign you and everything. And I do remember thinking, oh, like, it's such a hard decision. I think if I had that experience of a Spring Series the year before that, then yeah, something definitely would have been changed. But by that point, I was very set on America and I knew like how it was going to develop me as a player and everything. But yeah, no, after the spring series, it definitely did make that decision harder.
And, you know, we'll talk a little bit maybe at the end about the Manchester United game that's coming up. But obviously, Casey Stoney doing really well as a coach there. A teammate of yours as well at that time. Hugely experienced defender. What was it like having Casey as a teammate at that time?
Yeah, it was great having Casey around, and she was just such a composed leader, and she did everything right and demanded so much from everyone around her. Yeah, I'm very happy that I was able to be in around her and train, and I wish I'd played more with her because she wasn't really part of the spring series. And I know Lotta, for example, she was in and around Casey probably a lot more than I was, and she always sings her praises and everything. But yeah, she's an exceptional player and turning out to be quite an exceptional manager as well.
And kind of going on to when you went stateside and went into the college system, you spent 2 years in Florida and 2 years in South Carolina, is that right?
Yeah.
Was that always the plan when you went out there to split your time like that?
No, it wasn't the plan, actually. So originally I went off to Florida State. They were, when I was making the decision a couple of years before I actually went out, they were the number one team in the nation. And I was like, right, this is amazing. And they've also dealt with a lot of international players as well. So I don't know, they have a lot of international players before me, some big names. Like, I'm trying to think of WSL players. Dagny Brinnersdorter, the one that's just signed for West Ham. She's an old FSU player. Emma Kavisko. Mm-hmm. She's at Brighton. She just moved over in January. I actually played with her my freshman year. Megan Connolly. So yeah, FSU is like known for having quite a lot of international players, which was nice going there knowing, oh, they know how to, you know, support us internationals, as we were always called over there. So yeah, went there. I loved my time there. Won an ACC championship and the NCAA championship, which is a be all end all in college. And oh my God, that was such an amazing experience, such an amazing feeling. And I didn't really, going to America, I didn't even understand like what's good to, but like that's what like little girls dream of when they grow up in America, is winning like the college cup and everything. So to go and do that, and it's only now, more since I've like a year after, I was like, wow, that was really good that we won it all. But yeah, loved FSU. But for me, they started playing me more in like a midfield role, and even in a bit more of like a box to box, and would bring me on when they needed a lot more defensive security in that midfield area. And I just knew my future and like where I'm best suited is being as a centre back or right back and being in the heart of the defence. So I'm very mutually, and I still am in contact with the coaches at FSU. They're great. Decided to move to South Carolina, where Grace Fisk actually was at the time. She was like my little agent. And I played alongside her for a year, which was great. And yeah, no, I didn't plan it going to two universities, but I wouldn't have changed it. I think it was so great getting coached by so many amazing coaches and splitting my time, meeting new people, and a bit of a different style of play in both teams and different scenarios that challenged me. So yeah, I loved my time in America, and it was such a great experience.
And what did you study out there?
Sociology.
Sociology. Okay. Is that an area that you think would be of interest to you after your playing career, even though that's probably some years off?
I haven't thought too much about it in the future. I know I actually want to carry on my education in some way. I don't know. I think I'll branch off from sociology the next thing I pick up. But I did really enjoy studying that degree. America's a bit different. You do a lot of general education for like quite a lot of years, actually. So even in my last semester, I was learning Italian, which doesn't do anything with sociology. Like it's a bit random, the education system over there. But yeah, I haven't thought too much about my post career football career aspirations yet.
Rightly so, because it's quite a way off. So what would you say is the main kind of the main differences in terms of the attitude and approach, like when you went out to the US and you started training with Florida State? Did the differences really hit you? And if so, what were they?
Well, a lot of girls straight away say the physical side and like everything like that when you go to America is so different. And I, to some respect, completely agree with that, because teams love that it's very transitional. You know, America create athletes and then players after that. That's what a lot of people say. But actually, for me, going to Florida State, who was a very like possession team, like they have lots of technical players, it wasn't that different from Arsenal, for example. Obviously the quality wasn't the same, but the way they like to play football and like progress through the different thirds was similar. And like the past two matches, for example, against Villa and Birmingham, when teams kind of sit off us and create like a low block, for me, when I was at Florida State, majority of the teams, because they knew what the quality we have, would create a low block, and it was on us to try and move them, which obviously we've been doing also at Arsenal. So it wasn't that different going over to Florida State. And then South Carolina, it was also a different league. You had to move leagues, and that was, the SEC is also known for being even more like physical and transitional and direct. And I definitely noticed that when I moved over to the SEC conference. And that was like a different aspect of the game, and dealing with strikers who always want to run in behind, and how you deal with that and how you can adjust to play. So I've definitely experienced a lot of different teams and players and styles of play out there, which I hope will help me now coming back.
And kind of you were kind of coming back and training with Arsenal when you were back in England anyway, and things like that. I think most of us kind of expected and hoped to see you and Lotta come back. Was it always set in your mind that you were going to come back to Arsenal, or was it just an option you thought would probably or possibly be there? Like, how definite was it, particularly as you came to the end of your time in the US, that Arsenal was going to be the club you'd come back to?
Yeah, I have to admit, it was pretty like always there in my mind when I left, especially after the spring series, and how like I felt so much support from people within Arsenal and the fans and everything. I always felt I was going to come back to Arsenal. There was never really any points when I was like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. Arsenal's always been home. So, yeah, it wasn't too hard a decision.
And obviously your career and Lotta's career, Lotta Wubben-Moy, very, very, very similar paths. You came through the academy kind of together, went to America at the same time, albeit to different colleges. But then, I mean, Lotta came back a couple of months before you. But how much did you guys stay in touch? And I guess you both came back and were training with Arsenal. So, you know, did you both talk about coming back to Arsenal together?
People always ask that. And we never full on like sat down with each other and were like, you're coming back, aren't you? Yeah, I'm coming back, you're coming back. Like, it was never like that. Obviously, I always knew Lotta was also interested in coming back to Arsenal, and it's her home as well. I want to say at points I actually thought she might have stayed in America. I think she had she spent a summer training with NC Courage alongside UNC, and you know, she got a bit of taste of like the physicality and everything like that, which I think is really up her street as well. So I was honestly not surprised. I wasn't surprised, but she was probably the one, I think, who was more likely not to come back, if anything. She might completely disagree with this, actually. But we both always supported Arsenal, talked about Arsenal. Oh, have you seen how the team's doing? All of this. So, yeah, we definitely always thought about returning to Arsenal together, but never actually had that conversation.
And what about, obviously, the time that you came back, pretty weird time to relocate continents, let alone countries. So well, what was the, like, I guess the last few months of your time out in the States like? And did, you know, the pandemic make you think, like, what's going to happen to my career here? Was there ever any, I mean, of course there must have been, everyone had doubts in the pandemic, but do you know what I mean? Did you,
yeah,
did it interrupt the end of your education, for example?
Yeah, so I actually trained with Arsenal. I got in touch with them in the summer, like, oh, I see you're back in pre-season. I'm actually still stuck out here, like, I'm still here in England, Hertfordshire. Can I come and join? And obviously they were always so welcoming. So yeah, I joined them for pre-season. I remember turning up and people were like, oh, like, how long are you with us? And I was like, I honestly don't know. It's until Trump lets me back into America. Like, I was joking at that because he had, you know, put so many barriers up to people going back. And I honestly thought when I went and joined Arsenal for pre-season, I was like, this might be my actual preseason. Like, I might actually stay with them. It really didn't look like I was going to be able to get back to America and properly finish off my degree. So it was kind of like this. Part of me was like, that will suck not going back, finishing my degree, being with all my friends and being able to properly say goodbye. And then part of me was like, yeah, but being in and around this environment will be really good for you, Hannah, like, even if it is just a few months earlier and everything like that. But then within a week, they were like, oh, no, you can come back. So I did go back. And then there were so many, like, tosses and turns in August of, you know, are we going to have a season? Are we not? Is there any point in me staying? Like, will I be able to carry on my education? It was actually, like, a really hard time because, you know, I was seeing girls like Lotta, Alessia, Lois, all the girls at UNC, and they'd been told by their coach, basically, you go back, go be pro, because we don't know what the season's going to be like. And I kind of had a different message from my coaches, and they wanted me to stay as long as possible to support the team. I was a really big leader on that team and an important part of the back line. So I also wanted to properly finish off my collegiate career, and I was grateful that they did end up putting on a season for us and I did get to play and finish it off. But yeah, no, in August time, I was like, I don't know if I'm staying, if I'm going. Yeah, it was quite a stressful time. And then obviously, yeah, joining back in January, it has been such a weird time to rejoin a team. Like, you're joining a team halfway through a season, which is always hard. And then you're joining and you can't really do much team bonding things. So, like, it's been really hard to properly get to know some of the girls. And obviously everyone's been so welcoming, and I did, like, feel very comfortable being back with everyone. But there's just those, like, extra little things that you normally do as a team that we haven't been able to do. That's made it way harder to, you know, really feel like back together as a squad. And it has been hard for that reason. And also, like, not having games in that, like, January time, and then having two really big ones, and then not, it's been hard to get a rhythm and a flow and everything. So yeah, no, even in these, like, past 2 weeks and two, like, away games where you're, like, all on the coach journey together and everything, I feel closer with certain players, which you think,
yeah,
you're in March and you're starting to feel closer with players, but that is just the case because it has been such a weird time to return. But yeah, no, I'm definitely feeling more and more comfortable with everyone.
Good. And at what point did Joe kind of, or Arsenal say to you, like, when was it when they kind of said, look, we definitely want to sign you in January?
Yeah, so I would say over the summer period, all those talks started and they were talking to me about the future and everything. And I really loved having those conversations, but for me it was actually quite hard to properly have any conversations because of the rules within the American, like, eligibility and everything. So it was always kind of like, oh, it's nice to hear the interest, but we couldn't, like, formally have any chats, if that makes sense. So I was feeling the love from Arsenal definitely in the summer before I returned, and then after my season ended in, like, end of November, December time was when the whole process really started to get going. And I was obviously very excited and happy to rejoin Arsenal.
And what about
playing for Arsenal? Because that's a whole another thing, you know. Like, obviously, I was part of Arsenal. I was part of the academy. I got to play for the first team, but at that time, it wasn't like I was a contracted player to the first team. I was just getting a amazing opportunity. But then to actually properly sign for Arsenal, such an amazing feeling.
And what about kind of your role in the team, I guess? Because Joe's put you on at right back a couple of times in games, played on the right of a back three against Reading. Has he said, you know, obviously Joe likes to play people in different positions in different formations, but what has he said to you about your role and how he sees using you?
Well, I think personally it's quite a compliment to be a versatile player and be able to be put anywhere across the back line and feel comfortable there, which is the case for me. I really enjoy playing right back and getting on a bit more as a player, and I also love being a centre-back and making those big important challenges as you do as a centre-back and dictating play and being on the ball. And we've never had a formal chat. I think, obviously, I played majority of my time as a centre-back before I left with Arsenal. And I think that's one of my main positions. But honestly, wherever they need me, wherever they want me, I'm happy to go there. And centre-back, right-back, wherever.
Yeah, I mean, Viv played a bit of a different position on Sunday. So, like, if she's moving, like, nothing's sacred, really, in that respect. You've been back properly, as it were, a couple of months now. And obviously, you were training with Arsenal and checking in. But what would you say are the differences between, or have you observed many differences between the Arsenal you left and the Arsenal you've rejoined 3.5 years later?
Yeah, definitely. I think the quality of the team and the players that are in this team is greater. And that's just also part credit to the improvement of the league over here and how it has attracted all these top quality players. But I'd say like the Arsenal style of play and everyone wanting to play for that badge and everything that in the team environment is also similar, because there's those main players like the Jordans, Kim, Leah, like those players who were there in the spring series and are still now, who, you know, they are leaders within the team and they're keeping like the environment in that sense is also similar. I wouldn't say, definitely the quality of the players has improved, and that's so, I so love being part of the team and training with it, all these top quality players week in, week out. And just developing. Obviously Joe brings another style of coaching compared to Pedro, who was the manager during the spring series. And I love learning from him and what he has to say. And we do a lot more like video reviews and things are pulled up from training and really just getting like the ins and out of what you need to do when you're in this position and how this can help the team. And if you miss a play, you know what I mean? Like all of that is definitely heightened. And I really love being in those environments and like learning and being taught. It is different. But like I said, there's certain players who kind of like keep that heart of like Arsenal, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, Joe hired Aaron Dantino as assistant, whose whole thing is video analysis. So yeah, I know that's a massive thing for Joe and for Arsenal. Just last two questions. First one, you know, you've got yourself and Lotta there, Leah as well, three centre backs, all childhood Arsenal fans, all come through the academy. Fairy tale stuff, really. Do you guys ever actually just sit and talk about that, or just say, wow, this is quite weird, isn't it? This is quite amazing.
Definitely me and Lotta do that quite a bit. And when we're both properly signed and we're like, we're getting paid to do this. Like, this is what we love. We're getting paid to play for Arsenal. This is crazy. And we kind of have those surreal moments now and then. Obviously Leah being around here, we all chat about Arsenal and everything like that. You can see it within us. But I think as fans, it must also be nice to know that you have three defenders back there who will put their bodies on the line to stop a goal going in, because that's how much we want to defend for Arsenal for that badge.
Yeah. I mean, I was at the Brighton game earlier in the season when Lotta scored, and the celebration. I mean, obviously it's empty stadium. I heard her shriek after the goal at Villa last week. Leah saw that I was watching the Arsenal men's game on my iPad, and as soon as she came out, she turned to me. She's like, "What's the score?" And
you know, exactly
every 5 minutes, just checking the score when then we're playing at Leicester. You know, so really top Arsenal credentials in that defence. My final question is looking ahead to a massive game against Manchester United on Friday. And it's a game I know a lot of Arsenal fans, myself included, are very anxious and excited about. And it's, you know, it is the biggest game of the season, I think, possibly even in the WSL, let alone for Arsenal. How are you guys talking about this game at the moment? Are you just treating it like any other game, or is there a sense of, right, this is a massive game now?
Yeah, I don't think there's been too much like amped upness, if that's a weird word to use, but like it's not been blown out of proportion during training or any of our analysis right now, obviously, because there's no, especially because it's quite a long build up from our past game, a lot longer than normal. So right now there's just, it's quite calm, and everyone knows how important the game is, but there's no point of like getting too like worked up and thinking about this, and this is exactly how they're going to play. So we've got, you know, I think we all focus on ourselves and how we need to play, and how we all know we've got to give everything to be able to win that game, and we all know how important it is going to be. But yeah, I wouldn't say in training the environment has stayed pretty similar, if I'm honest, and I think that's a good thing. I don't think you should be going crazy when you're knowing you're about to play this game compared to another. You know, you've got to take every opponent the same. But deep down, back of our heads, everyone knows this is a must-win game. It's basically a cup final. So, yeah, maybe if we were to have this chat Thursday night, I might say something different. But currently, there's a good vibe in training, and we're doing all the preparations we need to get ready for that game.
Excellent. Well, very, very good luck for that game. I know, you know, most of us will be watching it maybe from behind our hands and on the edge of our seats. I'm pleasure to be there covering it. I'll probably be shivering in the press box, and not because I'm cold. So best of luck for that game, Anna, and for the rest of the season. Thanks so much for joining today. Really, really appreciate your time. Like I said, good luck, and speak to you again soon.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed chatting. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/arsblog.
And that's all we have time for this episode of the Arsenal Women Askcast. Huge thank you to Arsenal defender Anna Patton for her time. Hope you really enjoyed the interview. We will be back in another couple of weeks with another episode of the Arsenal Women Askcast. Until then, thanks and goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.